Let me read a second passage of Scripture, this time from the New Testament in the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, beginning at verse 14. Matthew chapter 14 and at verse 14. Jesus has been in a boat on the Sea of Galilee in the northern part of Israel. And we read this. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd. There's a great hillside there, and the crowd is on the hillside. And he had compassion for them and cured their sick. The other Gospels tell us that he taught them all that day. And when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In our sermons at the beginning of this year, we are looking together at the subject of prayer, the topic of prayer. And our focus is on the prayer which Jesus taught his first followers, a prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer. As we move into the season of Lent, getting closer to Easter, we'll look at some other prayers that we have in the pages of Scripture. But we begin with this prayer that Jesus taught his followers and longs to teach to you and me as well. You can find it in the pages of the Bible in the 6th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, right in the middle of Jesus' most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. Or you can find it in your bulletin. Printed in your bulletin on page 4, we are going to be praying this prayer together later in our service. So far in the series, we've looked at the first half of this prayer, 50% of the prayer, and what I pointed out is this, that the whole of the first half of the prayer is not about us, but about God. About God. If it is about us, it's only indirectly. It's about God and who God is and who we are in relationship to God, who God wants us and calls us to be. And so we pray, "Our Father who art in heaven," this is who God is, not a mere cosmic being, but our Father, our parent, which means that we are children of God and we have this right to communicate and connect with God. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, honored be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Let earth become as much like heaven as it possibly can. Heaven, where you, God, are at the center of things and are seen to be at the center of things. May this happen as much now as possible." If I were to take those liturgical words that many of us have known since childhood and translate them into a more casual kind of a prayer, I think I might translate them, paraphrase them in this way, in a prayer that would go like this. God, actually not just God, but Father, the one who gave me life, the one who created me, the one who through Jesus Christ redeems me. You're up in heaven. You know everything. Please remember that I'm down here on earth and I need some help down here on earth. Would you come down to me? Would you be here where I am? To tell you the truth, God, Father, I don't always do the things that I know you want. I push you off center in my life. I'm more concerned at times about my name, my identity, finding who I am in life than thinking about who you are in life. I'm looking for a place to belong, a community within which I will find myself and somebody to follow, a voice to follow. And I don't always think about your kingdom, your realm, and you as the voice that I need to listen to above all others. And I've got plans and purposes for my life. Quite frankly, I'd like to do some of them. And you have your will, and I'm not quite sure how these go together. You know, sometimes my mantra is like Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. That's what I'd really like in life, to end up just doing it my way. But Lord, and here's the prayer. Lord, I actually know that this isn't right. I'm not quite sure how to solve it. This isn't right. But let me pray and let me ask that you really would be my Father, that I would know that I'm your child, that you really would be at the center of things down here on earth with me as you are in heaven. Let me be more concerned about you and your name and who you are, and find my identity in finding my relationship with you. May I find my community of belonging within your kingdom, under your sway, because that's where I'm going to be through all eternity, at home with you. May I find my home with your people right here and now. And may I come to know that your will is best for me, no matter what it is or where it lies. That my understanding of this journey is not nearly as clear as your understanding of the journey. May I not ask simply that you hitch on to me, but that I hitch on to you and go where you want. That's what I think is going on in the first half of this prayer. And if this is a prayer that we pray repeatedly, and we need to because we keep pushing God off center, that will change everything, and it will change the kinds of things that we ask for from God, the kinds of things that we think we need, and the things that we want. If this is our prayer constantly, it will change our lives. But Jesus says that's not all we're to pray about. Once we've prayed that and we keep on praying it again and again, there is no question. Jesus is concerned not just for these great things in the world, but for the daily needs of life as well. All kinds of needs. So what do we pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Make earth as much like heaven as possible, on earth as it is in heaven. And then the prayer changes. Halfway through it changes. Give us this day our daily bread. Thy. And then it's us. It's down here. Give us this day our daily bread. The nitty gritty of life where we live. This is a prayer for God's provision of our needs, not of all our wants, but of our needs. It's not a prayer, you'll notice, for daily cake. It is not a prayer for daily latte. It is not a prayer for filet mignon. It is not a prayer for Haagen-Dazs. That's very hard for me to think about. One of the great sacrifices in coming to Washington, D.C. was to find that I was in an area of the country that did not sell Bluebell ice cream. Those of you who've lived in Texas and in other places know the joys of Bluebell ice cream, and you can't get it here. And there are times I'd like that to be my first prayer. Just need this, need it now. And we all have that prayer for something or another. But Jesus says, this is a prayer. This is a prayer for our basic needs. Whether, and this is critical, whether they are spiritual or whether they are physical. Because what we know of Jesus is that he blended the spiritual and the physical together. In almost everything he did, you can see this combination of the physical and the spiritual. He did not treat people as if they were disembodied souls. He treated them as if they were physical beings with an eternal life that they could possibly have, spirit and soul and body all wrapped up together. Give us this day our daily bread. Let's think about this in spiritual terms and in physical terms, and we'll begin with the spiritual, thinking of Jesus and his thinking in this particular way, quite explicitly. For example, when Jesus is in the desert, in the wilderness, being tempted by the devil at the beginning of his ministry, he has fasted for 40 days, and the scripture says he was famished, he was hungry, and the devil comes to him and says, take these stones, these rocks, and turn them into bread. And Jesus replies to the devil in the words of the book of Deuteronomy. He says, we do not live by bread alone, but only by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's not just the physical, it's the spiritual that we need. And we need this on a daily basis. Or think, if you move on from Matthew 4, where the temptation story is, to Matthew 5, to the Beatitudes, blessed or happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, says Jesus, for they will be satisfied. Taking the physical and bringing out of it the spiritual significance, Jesus stands there in the traditions of the great prophets like Amos, who looked at the world around about him and said, there is a famine in this land. There is a famine, a lack of bread. There is a famine in this land for the word of God. So we need to be praying that God would feed not only our bodies, but our souls. Jesus, the scripture says, is the bread of heaven, spiritual food that nourishes day after day after day. Back in 1975, journalist Dan Wooding was stunned when he met Mother Teresa of Calcutta to find that this woman who was with people who were so poor physically, concentrating on their physical needs, that she was also passionate about their spiritual needs in these moments of extreme emergency when people were dying, caring for spirit and body at the same time. Body and spirit. This is what he says of that encounter. As a young reporter, I immediately warmed to this gentle woman who had seen more poverty than anyone I'd ever met. Speaking in the founding, festering slum where she'd made her simple home, I was surprised to hear her express pity for the poverty-stricken West. Don't know if you think about the West as poverty-stricken. So this is how she goes on. She said, "The spiritual poverty of the Western world is much greater than the physical poverty of our people. You in the West have millions of people who suffer such terrible loneliness and emptiness. They feel unloved and unwanted. These people are not hungry in the physical sense, but they are in another way. They know they need something more than money. Yet they don't know what it is. What they're missing," she concluded, "is a living relationship with God." They're missing the first part of the Lord's Prayer. A Father in heaven who cares for us, wants us to communicate with him, wants us to know that we will find our honor and our glory in being concerned about him and about his name and about his will. And we'll find our home in his eternal kingdom. So there is no doubt that Jesus wants us to pray as we pray this prayer. No doubt that he wants us to pray about our daily spiritual food. Give us this day our daily bread. Do you pray this prayer? Daily. Obviously, it must be prayed. Lord, I get knocked off center so easily. Bring me back to the center and to the truth that you are God and that my life is to be found with your life. Give me what I need to sustain me and nourish me in this. Daily bread, spiritual bread. But there's also no question that this is a prayer about real bread, about literal bread as well, and that Jesus was passionate about both the spiritual and about the physical, the two side by side. If he knew that we cannot live without bread, we need that bread, that physical bread, he also knew that we cannot live without the spiritual bread as well, the two side by side. Jesus knew the story of Exodus that we read as our first scripture reading. The people of Israel escaped from slavery. They're on their way to the promised land. They are in the middle of nowhere. They are in the wilderness. They think that they have been abandoned by God, and they are hungry, hungry spiritually, but they're also hungry physically. And God hears their cry. Even when they are children at their worst, they scream at God. They are mad at God. Father, help us. Do you not remember us? And God hears their prayer. And with the quails that fly in and the manna in the wilderness, provides for them physically. Every day of their journey, day by day, don't be greedy, just take enough for the day. This is where daily bread comes from. But not only that, when Jesus, knowing this story, sees a crowd of people who are hungry spiritually and hungry physically, he wants to feed them. He uses his divine power, as our reading from Matthew 14 indicated, to feed them. And he wants to do it not just by himself, but with his followers, with his disciples, with people like you and me. Remember that scene? The crowd is there. They're on the hillside above the Sea of Galilee. Jesus has been helping them physically, healing them, helping them spiritually, teaching them. And it's a long day. And at the end of the day, they are hungry. And the disciples come to Jesus and say, "Send them away. This is not our business. Send them away. Let them go and find food for themselves." And Jesus says, "No, no, this is your business. You feed them." At this, they are absolutely shocked. They say, "We can't do that. All we have are 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus says, "Don't focus on what you cannot do. Focus on what you can do. Give those to me." And in his hands, he takes the loaves and the fish, and he multiplies them, and that huge crowd is fed physically. They've been fed spiritually. They are fed physically on that day in which Jesus has compassion on them. And surely God wants to use us, too, to feed not only ourselves, but others. In fact, when we think about this prayer and think about our lives, give us this day our daily bread, isn't the truth that for us here today, for most of us, maybe not all of us, we know where our daily bread is coming from. And actually, we know where tomorrow's daily bread is coming from. And we may be able to see even far into the future. We know where our bread is coming from. Maybe when we pray this prayer, we very quickly should remind ourselves that our provision comes from God, but then focus on something in the prayer that we so often miss. That this prayer is not singular, but plural. It's not just give me this day my daily bread. It's give us this day our daily bread. So who's the us? Don't you remember that's a question that somebody asked Jesus on one occasion, who is my neighbor? The person in need is our neighbor. Give us this day our daily bread. Whatever crowd there is on the hillside around about us, maybe this prayer is not just for me and you, but for us in the greater sense in this world around about us that God looks down on every moment and sees people spiritually hungry and physically hungry as well. I don't know if you know the statistics on hunger in our world or in our nation, but let me give you a few brief statistics about our world, for example. It's estimated that 2 billion people out of the 6 or 7 billion people on the face of the earth are undernourished. That's a third of the population undernourished of the whole of the world. And that one person dies every 3 seconds because of hunger-related issues. One, two, three. And another person dies. And God sees this and is pained by this, like God with the people in the wilderness, like Jesus by the seashore in Galilee. God is pained by this hunger in a world in which ultimately there is an abundance. And what about our own nation? The statistics for hunger in our own nation are worse than in any other of the top 25 developed nations except for Mexico. The statistics for hunger in our nation are worse than any other top 25 nation except for Mexico. The Department of Agriculture estimated in 2011, and these were the most recent statistics I could find, that 15% of our population went hungry at some point in the year. 15%, that's 45 million people, and among them, at least 4 million children. And some of those children, so hungry that they will not develop in the right way, that lack of nourishment in early years, as we know, affects the way they grow and the way that they develop. This is a massive situation that we have to deal with, and my guess is that the Jesus who fed the crowds and knew the story of God's provision in the wilderness is in much pain at what he sees, and that as he looked for his disciples to help out, he says to you and me, what are we going to do who pray this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, not only about my bread, but about their bread as well? So what are we going to do? In our congregation, as many of you know, we're involved in a program which helps to feed other people. We're involved with a marvelous organization here in the District of Columbia called Martha's Table. And some of you have been involved in sandwich making here in our own congregation down in Stone Hall. And you need to know that those sandwiches go to Martha's Table and then they go out on the streets. I've been there one time, need to go again. And there are people waiting to receive that food who do not know where their daily bread is coming. And part of our calling and the way we answer this prayer is to be involved in this and to know that this is a vital ministry of our congregation that we are involved in together and perhaps can expand together. Many of you know this. Most of you do not know that the congregation from which I came in South Carolina was heavily involved in helping people not only with spiritual food but with physical food. I can mention this because I actually had nothing to do with it. I turned up long after the program was established and was flying well. And I really had to do nothing to keep supporting it except to be amazed at what was going on. Way back in 1977, First Presbyterian Church in Spartanburg decided to begin a feeding program. 15 volunteers gathered in the church kitchen, and they decided to feed 25 people a week. 25 people a week, 15 people, 36 years ago. By the time I turned up, their budget was $2 million, 150 volunteers a week serving 1,500 meals a day. 1,500 meals a day. The church bought a building. Kitchen in the church was too small by then. Bought a building, renovated to enable this to happen. And in that area, they spanned a 30-mile radius. The name of Jesus Christ was honored and glorified by what they did for all kinds of people. Now, you know, as well as I do, that South Carolina as a whole is a very Republican state. These are folks who decided that they would not take an ounce of government money. This money came from all the churches in the whole community, bit by bit and day by day. And because there were no strings attached, they hired a chaplain, a full-time chaplain, and at times more than one, so that when they went into homes and they saw spiritual needs, like Mother Teresa, they could care for the body and the soul together. Now, I have no clue what God wants to do in our lives and in our congregation in the days ahead, but I do know this, that we have the gifts and the talents, we have the loaves and the fishes in our congregation that we can offer to Jesus Christ and say, Lord Jesus, I'm not sure what you can do with these, but I know whether spiritually or physically you can feed more people than we can ever imagine. You've done it. You've done it often. You can do it again. Give us this day our daily bread, and not just me, but us, and through us. Help us bring as much heaven down to earth as possible. One of the great New Testament scholars of the past 20 or 30 years, in my estimation, is a Presbyterian minister called Dale Bruner, who taught for many years at Whitworth College, University in Spokane, Washington. As he reflects on this particular request, this is what he writes, thinking about how God could use us. He writes this. He says, in the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, we pray for real bread for real people. Bread costs money, he said. Money requires work. Work requires good government, good business, and good labor. Thus, when we pray for bread, we're praying at the same time for money, jobs, government, business, labor, good crops, good weather, roads, justice, and for everything economic, political, and social. Wow. The whole thing. Lord, whether it's in the church or in my place of work, whether it's with my friends or in the community, how can you use me? How can you use us? Not only to help those who slip through the cracks, but perhaps to build a world in which less people slip through the cracks. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, may God give us boldness to pray and to believe that more heaven can come down to earth through us than we could ever imagine. May we be grateful to God for feeding us spiritually and physically every day, being the source of our provision and the home within which we find ourselves. And may we pray that God would use me and us to bring daily bread to others in this world that God loves and to which he sent his Son. In this world in which he provided for his ancient people traveling through the wilderness on their way to the promised land. In this world in which Jesus on a hillside fed a huge crowd of people spiritually and physically with the bread that they needed that day. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do bow before you and ask that you really would center us on you, on who you are, and what plans and purposes you might fulfill through us as ambassadors of your kingdom on earth. Grant us courage and grant us faith and hands and feet to do your work. Amen.